Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Reading this morning from Canto 3, Chapter 32. Text 5. I hope that's what's on the board. Very good. Ye svadharmam nadu yanti dhira karmartha hetave niksanganyasta karmanaha prashanta shuddha chetasa Ye svadharmam nadu yanti dhira kamartha hetave niksanga nyasta karmanaha prashanta shuddha chetasaha. Ye those who svadharman, their own occupational duties. Na, do not. Duyanti, take advantage of. Diraha, intelligent. Kama, sense gratification. Artha, economic development. Hetave, for the sake of. Niksanga, free from material attachment. Yasta, given up. Karmanaha, fruitive activities. Prashantaha, satisfied. Shuddha Chetasa, of purified consciousness. Translation, those who are intelligent and of purified consciousness are completely satisfied in Krishna consciousness. Freed from the modes of material nature, they do not act for sense gratification. Rather, since they are situated in their own occupational duties, they act as one is expected to act.
Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The first class example of this type of man is Arjuna. Arjuna was a Kshatriya, and his occupational duty was to fight. Generally, kings fight to extend their kingdom, which they rule for sense gratification. But as far as Arjuna is concerned, he declined to fight for his own sense gratification. He said that although he could get a kingdom by fighting with his relatives, he did not want to fight with them. But when he was ordered by Krishna and convinced by the teachings of Bhagavad Gita that his duty was to satisfy Krishna, then he fought. Thus, he fought not for his sense gratification, but for the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Paragraph. Persons who work at their prescribed duties, not for sense gratification, but for the gratification of the Supreme Lord, are called Niksanga, freed from the influence of the modes of material nature. Nyasta Karmanaha indicates that the results of their activities are given to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such persons appear to be acting on the platform of their respective duties, but such activities are not performed for personal sense gratification. Rather, they are performed for the Supreme Person. Such devotees are called prashantaha, which means completely satisfied. Shuddha chetasa means Krishna conscious. Their consciousness has become purified. In unpurified consciousness, one thinks of himself as the Lord of the universe, but in purified consciousness, one thinks himself the eternal servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Putting oneself in that position of eternal servitorship to the Supreme Lord and working for him perpetually, one actually becomes completely satisfied. As long as one works for his personal sense gratification, he will always be full of anxiety. That is the difference between ordinary consciousness and Krishna consciousness. End of purport. Ye svadharman nuduyanti dhira kamartha hetave niksanga nyasta karmanaha prashanta shuddha chetasaha. Those who are intelligent and are of purified consciousness are completely satisfied in their Krishna consciousness. Freed from the modes of material nature, they do not act for sense gratification. Rather, since they are situated in their own occupational duties, they act as one is expected to act. Omagyana timaram dasya pinanjana sarakaya chakshura vinitam kena tasmai Shri Gurave namaha Shri Chaitanya manopistam stapitam yena bhutale svayam rupa kadamayam mutati svapadapitam. Well, this chapter, as you go further into the chapters, it gets really scary. A very graphic description of the consequences of fruitive activity, how one becomes bewildered and beat up and spun around and confused and practically tortured by the material circumstance due to this fruitive disposition. So before launching into that horrific description, it's very nice that there's a clear description of the alternative. We don't have to go there. There is another alternative, and it's a very nice alternative. In the previous purport, Prabhupada explicitly says, the Grihamedis, they don't care for Vaikuntha. They want fruitive activity. Tell them that there's a price they have to pay, they'll pay the price. Birth after birth, give them the Vaikuntha alternative. No way, they want sense gratification. Very determined. Mudha, very determined. So this is the alternative in this life and in the next life, just like Krishna describes. When one performs one's activity with mind fixed upon me and intelligence absorbed in serving him, one is situated in him. without a doubt, the 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. You don't have to, back to God, it doesn't mean, you know, a better place in the life hereafter. That is appropriate for heaven, but it's not appropriate for Vaikuntha. By one can access Vaikuntha in one's present life, if one is, because it's a question of consciousness, it's not a question of location. It's not materially based, it's spiritually based or consciousness based. And this verse is describing that consciousness. It's mention is also, right at the very beginning, mention is made of the duties that one does, svadharma. Svadharma indicates one's own duty or occupation, like Brahma karma svabhavajam, Vaishya karma svabhavajam, Kshatriya karma svabhavajam, Shudra karma. So with one's svabhava comes one's svadharma. That's the, you know, the psychophysical nature, the body that you have received, and the modes of nature that you are impelled by. So with the modes of nature impelling, there are prescribed duties. But if one stays on the platform of simply performing prescribed duties or acting as one ought to act dutifully, it's still, you're still within the modes of nature. You're bound by the modes of nature. You're bound to receive the fruits of good religious work done according to the codes of scripture. So the difference that's being described here is, in addition to svadharma, it's na duyanti. There, without the consideration, na duyanti, of kama, artha, hetave, not for the purpose of sense gratification or economic development. Acting as one ought to act, it's the last line of the translation, acting as one ought to act, that's swadharma. Yea, that person who swadharma, they act as they ought to act, but their consciousness is with Krishna. I would say out of the top five questions that as a traveling sannyasi I get, it may be number one, or at least out of the top three, is how to be Krishna conscious in the workplace. This is it. There's a duty, and someone just wrote into this questions answers thing that I do about, you know, should I work? How do I work for Krishna? And I don't need the money. It was a wife. I don't need the money. My husband's earning is fine. And, but, you know, I my whole life I've been this, you know, go-getter personality, and so on. You know, I've got a degree, and I'm very happy with my devotional activities at home, but there's this other thing that says go get a job because you got to be successful. But how do I do it? It's just so common. There's different ways people ask. You know, they're coming from different positions, but it's very clear. The activity. The example that Prabhupada is giving in the purport is Arjuna. For his own sense gratification, you know, he tells it in the opposite way. At other times, his declining is because of sense gratification. He's thinking in terms of my relatives, that I don't want to be the cause of harm or death to my relatives, so I can't fight. He was thinking of my enjoyment. Now he's turning it around the other way, he's thinking. He was very detached and not thinking of his sense gratification like kings normally act. I mean, Arjuna was so powerful. He already showed. Single-handedly, he defeated the whole Kaurava army. Single-handedly, just riding a chariot. Single-handedly. He defeated them in gaining the hand of Draupadi, single-handedly. You know, he knew he would win. And to win, there's the kingdom. The kingdom is mine, or ours, my brother's kingdom. And rightfully, because it belonged to them, and it's so many things. Attempted murder to get it taken away from them. Multiple attempted murders. These are bad people. Kshatriya code, punish them. No. I'm detached. It's his just for the grabbing. So the materialist, if he knew it was the kingdom is mine just for the grabbing, he'd grab it. But not Arjuna, Prabhupada is appreciating. But when he understood, Krishna wanted it. And he taught from Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna wants something, it's your duty to do that which Krishna wants. Okay, I'm ready. So that's going to the office or the workplace or whatever prescribed duty one may have. That's the position, the Krishna conscious position, the not entangled in fruitive activities position, is for the satisfaction of Krishna. So what are the symptoms of this, where the satisfaction of Krishna is factually at the center? Niksanga, third line down. Niksanga, the sangha, or the association in this case with the modes of nature. No association with the modes of nature. What do the modes of nature do? They bind one. Like another meaning of guna is rope, besides mode or quality. It's rope. It ties one. But it also pushes one. It's like a push and a pull. One is impelled into action by the modes of nature, especially the passionate one. And the passionate one is where the impelling impetus is get something, to attain, to acquire something, to do something, to achieve something, to own something, to possess something, to accomplish something. Mode of passion. Lots of mode of passion in this world. It's so intense that even when one takes up spiritual practice, the mode of passion is pushing. Achieve something, do something, get something, acquire something. At least a title. At least, you know, the recognition that you're a good devotee. Yeah, that's a good motivation. Mode of passion. It's pernicious. It just doesn't, like, go away. Like, you know, something that's stuck and you try to get rid of it and it just doesn't go away. So as far as occupation is concerned, it's very strong. So what's the replacer? The replacer is do it for Krishna. Do it for Krishna. How do we do it for Krishna? That's, you know, because we're not accustomed to thinking like that, do it for Krishna. It's like, you know, hieroglyphics or Chinese or, you know, what's that language? Do it for Krishna. It doesn't compute. What does it mean? Do it for Krishna. So we try to do it for Krishna, but we're still doing it for ourselves. And that's where the struggle comes, because it's painful. Even when we try to do selfless work, it's, you know, so I feel good about myself. It's for myself. I was having this discussion with a student at Washington University on that campus, and it was in September. And there's a wave of interest on student life of what's it called? Forget the term. Social activism, there we go. Social activism. Like, you know, make a change. You know, let your life be part of making a difference. You know, it's passion. It sounds like goodness. Like, make it better. Yeah, I'm gonna make it better. I'm gonna make a change. But it's possessed, the springboard of the whole thing is while the ideal may be a lofty ideal, it's kartaham iti manyate. And I'm gonna get other people to do the good thing. But Krishna says very clearly in Bhagavad Gita, never think that way. Never consider oneself to be the cause of action. Never consider oneself to be the cause of the result of action. And never consider oneself the cause of others' actions. But social activism is all about false ego and passion. That sounds good. Because of ignorance. So you put those two together, ignorance and passion. And, you know, he was frustrated. You know, how do you get people to get involved in social activism? Become Krishna conscious. Read Bhagavad Gita. Understand, you know, that's you show by example. That's how you see the best social activism. Become pure and then show by example. And then people will follow. Because if they want the good thing and you're situated in that consciousness, those that want that good thing will follow the good thing and it'll become Krishna conscious. That's going to sustain also. The other is flickering. Even the activity and the result of the activity both. And it's contaminating you and contaminating the atmosphere and contaminating those you come in contact with in the name of social activism. I didn't say all of that, but some of that, basically. I said, wow, I think I should study Bhagavad Gita. Good idea. There's a nice Bhagavad Gita discussion group. Why don't you join it? So, it's very helpful, just like I was speaking last night about the importance of book distribution. It's essential that we have our careful, systematic study program of Prabhupada's books for those that are already situated in their eagerness to become Krishna conscious. But the opportunity to learn in principle how this can be done by people that aren't so yet committed, book distribution is fantastic. It's our Acharya's program, our founder of Acharya's program. Naturally, it's fantastic. It will give such people an opportunity to at least, you know, get an idea of what social activism really is. Or whatever their ism, that the concern is that they have, the value that they hold in life. What's the spiritual standard of that value that they hold? It has to start with getting off the bodily conception of life and onto the spiritual conception of life. Otherwise, it's another sullied attempt, well-intended, foolish attempt of moving things to a better position. It's just another, you know, mistaken position. What's this saying? About good intention.
The path to hell.
Huh?
The path to hell is
paved with good intention. Yeah. Even the path to hell is paved with good intention. So a Vaishnav not only needs to water their creeper of bhakti, but out of compassion, they have to do something. When they see very sincere, well-intentioned persons paving their path to hell, they have to do something. Have to do something. So our basic things are book distribution, Harinam, Prasadam distribution. Give them some, you know, throw them a rope. You grab on so you can. And then, so here's the message that's in the books that we would want them to take a look at. Nyasta karmanaha indicates the results of their activities are given to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that's a symptom of pure consciousness, that it's for Krishna. So certainly the results go to Krishna. Results go to Krishna because there's not an impelling force of acquiring something, and so whatever is generated goes to Krishna. It's like the verse from the first canto Bhagavatam. Dharmasya hi apavargasya kamo labhaya hi. No, is it? Dharmasya hi apavargasya nartotayo prakalpate. Nartasya dharmait dharma kantasya kama lobhaya hi smritaha. So one should not, it's double edged. One should not undertake dharma. So this verse is beginning sva dharma. It should not be undertaken for the purpose of sense gratification. That's what this is saying. Ye sva dharmam na duyanti karmarta hetave. Perform your prescribed duty, but not for the purpose of acquiring sense gratification. And then comes the next. Supposing some sense gratification comes. You didn't start saying, I want sense gratification, but it just came knocking at your door with folded hands. Sense gratification. I'm at your service. Or some the fruits of piety in the form of some form of opulence that would be normally thought of as, oh, this is nice, now I can have some sense gratification. I've told this story many times, but it's a nice Prabhupada story. For some period of time, short period of time, was with the Radha Damodar airport party. It was New York Temple was being sold, Brooklyn Temple was being sold, and the devotees were moving to Manhattan, to the 12-story building. So I saw they didn't have the finances to do it. It wasn't even just bootstrap, it was like crazy. So I asked my temple president's permission to come here to Chicago and distributed books in the airport. It was wild. And so it continued with the airport party for a while. And so after that Christmas marathon, we went to Mayapur. The whole Radha Damodar party, bus party and the airport party went to Mayapur, to the Mayapur festival. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj had $100 bills stacked up to $50,000. It was like, you know, a big stack. And we all went into Prabhupada's room. Those of you that know the Lotus building, the second floor of Prabhupada's room. So he was in the back, and we came and sat in the front, the sitting room. And Prabhupada came out when we were all settled, and Tumal Krishna Maharaj set this stack of $100 bills this tall in the corner of the desk. He said, Prabhupada, this is a gift from the Radha Damodar party to you. Prabhupada didn't mention it at all. He didn't look at the money like, oh, wow, that's a lot of money. Thank you very much. He didn't, it was just He just conducted the discussion. And at the very end, I was sitting right at the corner, practically like with the stack of money right in front of me, looking right at Prabhupada, at his face. And as soon as we were done, he turned to his secretary and said, "Put this money in such and such account and print such and such book." And then he smiled and said, "And you think we can have honey also with my meals?" Like a little sense gratification. He was joking. He laughed. Some sense gratification. He was detached. It was, you know, you can't buy my favor. Give me a bunch of money and I'll do whatever you want. I'll, you know, wag my tail and bark and, you know, I'll be your pet. It was, he accepted the service with the spirit of detachment. Immediately engaged it in book publication and made a joke about, or a small joke about sense gratification. But not a pinch of sense gratification for one was on a platform of pure devotion. No consideration. So, without the thought of sense gratification, there goes fruitive intention. So, what happens with the fruit of work? It goes to Krishna. It's like there's no second thought involved in it. Not even if it's already there, because the activity is for Krishna, so the fruit goes to Krishna in pure devotion. Prabhupada writes, such persons appear to be acting on the platform of their respective duties. That's the external appearance, but the consciousness, that's where the essence of Krishna consciousness is. It's the consciousness. The duties must also be in line, but the consciousness is what we're primarily interested in cultivating. Because when consciousness is right, nice activities will also flow. But we want the nice activities, but we want the just dedication to service unto Krishna. So a world of Krishna conscious citizens, people, might look, in certain ways at least, very much like everybody else. In the room we have persons that have this profession, that profession, this occupation. In the workplace it may look very much like what everybody else is doing. But, you know, the consciousness is the essence. Therefore, when one is freed from that fruitive tendency, because that's the entanglement of fruitive activities, is supported by fruitive intention. Minus that fruitive intention, it's not fruitive activities anymore. It's transcendental activities, because it's for Krishna. And in that state, such devotees are called prashanta, which means completely satisfied. As shanti in this prashanti, completely satisfied, completely peaceful. There's a nice verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita where Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami writes that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was describing mukti, siddhi, kami, sakale ashanta. The mind is going to be not peaceful as long as there is this desire for bhukti, sense gratification, mukti, liberation, siddhi, the ashta siddhis or the mystic siddhis. They're born of desires. It was a dead giveaway when I think it's okay to give this example. The before I started chanting Hare Krishna with the devotees, I was chanting Hare Krishna with a fellow named, he's still around too, Baba Ram Das, because he was doing the college circuit, and he was, you know, I didn't know that there was a Hare Krishna center at my college, but Baba Ram Das was coming around to do the colleges. So I went and chanted Hare Krishna with Baba Ram Das, and one of the stories he told in his lecture was, previously he was Richard Alpert, who was a professor at Harvard University, and he had become an LSD guy. And so when he went looking for a guru, he presented LSD to his guru and asked his guru, what is it? And his guru said, cities? Because that was his desire. Richard Alpert was, you know, altered state of consciousness by whatever means, by chemical means and whatever means, altered states of consciousness. So, bhukti, mukti, siddhi, kami, sakale, ashanta. So this is the opposite. It's not ashanta, but it's shanta, and it's like superlative. Prashanta. Or prashanti. One becomes completely satisfied. One doesn't need something outside of oneself for satisfaction. If one is properly situated in one's sheltered relationship with Krishna, that's all that one needs. Like the Shikshastakam verse, Nadanam, Najanam, Lasundari, Kavitam Vajagadisha Kamaya, Mama Jamari Jamarisha Bhavatani, Bhaktir Ahaituki Twayi. There is a desire. Service. Without ahaituki, without any purpose other than service. I was just hearing Prabhupada lecture on that verse, and he was saying, this is the right prayer. So many people come, Om Jaya Jagadisha Hare. They want something. But in this prayer, it's the same name, Jagadish, is used, but it's not with, you know, asking for anything other than service. And then Prabhupada said, oh my dear Lord, I simply want your service. End of prayer. And oh, by the way, in for my service I need this and that and that and this and that and the other thing. Please. But the prashantaha is this completely satisfied, and therefore shuddha chetasa, these very terms that are right in the verse, shuddha chetasa, shuddha is pure, and chetasa is consciousness, pure consciousness. Pure consciousness means Krishna consciousness. He's using them interchangeably. Shuddha chetasa means Krishna consciousness. Their consciousness has become purified. What's the unpurified state? I am the Lord. Or at least I want to become Lord of at least a part of creation, if not the Lord of the whole creation. And so, that's not pure. Contaminated consciousness. And hankering, you know, maybe if I become successful, even spiritually successful, then I can be an enjoyer of this variety or that variety or other variety. It's a stain that just doesn't leave easily. So the conclusion here, this verse is at the very beginning of the chapter to show there is an alternative. That the position of non-fruitive consciousness, not influenced by the modes of nature, not hankering for something other than simply the service of Krishna and offering everything unto Krishna. Offer it all to Krishna. I saw a bumper sticker. Offer it all to Krishna. Very nice. that which is offerable, offer it to Krishna. Okay. Any comments or questions on the verse? Yes. What's the barometer for Vaishnava activity? Your question is, what is the barometer for Vaishnava activity? Success?
Yeah, I feel so convinced that
Well, let's take a look at the service that you and your husband have been doing for a number of years. And you were, you know, is Krishna pleased by this? Right? Krishna pleased by this. But the outcome presently is different than the outcome for a number of years. So the outcome itself is not the measure, but that, you know, the activity clearly is has been an activity that Prabhupada indicated we should do. We've been doing all those things. And so Krishna's pleased. And if part of Krishna's pleasure is to help purification, either purification of yourselves or purification of the place or something to prepare it so that now that persons are stepping forward and taking up sincerely the practice of sadhana bhakti, you know, there's a pure heart to receive them, because the pure heart is one who has continued to do this despite, you know, seemingly not a whole lot of result. And so is this really what we should be doing? And you can say the same thing for book distribution, certainly. Book distribution is a very wonderful activity. One of the wonderful features of book distribution is that when one is fruitive, at least this is my experience, and having shared the same experience with other devotees very dedicated to book distribution, is when you're fruitive, either one of two things happen. Krishna restricts the results like anything. People are not moved by a fruitive disposed book distributor. And the other is, even if results come, it's not at all satisfying. And we know that feeling that it's not at all satisfying is not the right feeling for book distribution, because it's such an exhilarating activity. So there's something wrong with one's consciousness if it's fruitive. And if the activity is a proper activity for me as a devotee to be doing, and my enthusiasm is not rising and falling based upon the outcome itself, I certainly may want to understand, is this what Krishna really wants me to do? But I'm not going to find happiness or distress and enthusiasm or discouragement because result is there or not there, if it's actually pleasing to Krishna. There's steadiness, in short. I'm thinking of, because the example that you gave was book distribution. I'm thinking of a particular devotee who, for a long time, he was like always having smaller numbers than all the other devotees in book distribution. And he had just kind of accepted, that's my capacity. I'm doing my best and that's my capacity. It's less, Krishna is not empowering. Then something happened. All of a sudden something happened and his book distribution result made a quantum leap, so almost double. And then it stayed at that. And he had a nice realization that whether it was this much or this much, it's Krishna's mercy. It's not less Krishna's mercy, greater Krishna's mercy. It's Krishna's mercy, whether it's this or that. And he felt very happy. Not just, oh, now I can distribute more books, but the realization that my effort is just is what it is. He wasn't doing anything different. Just Krishna made the result different. It's all up to Krishna. I'm just an instrument. It's up to Krishna. That's happiness. Not the fruitive one. And because his consciousness was not fruitive, Krishna was able to bestow more results in his distribution, and it didn't change his consciousness at all. Other than just appreciating how kind is Krishna. I was thinking like Sudama. He was going home and he had nothing. And when he got home, his home was a palace. And in both circumstances, Krishna is very kind and Krishna is very kind. That's the pleasing Krishna consciousness. We should check to see if the activity that we're doing is prescribed, and we should check to see if our consciousness is wanting Krishna's happiness. And if we're thinking like that, Krishna will give us indicators if it's not pleasing to him, and we'll be able to perceive them rather than be attached to, you know, a particular activity or attached to the result of the activity. Well, you know, the signal will come from Krishna, it'll be clear. Jai Jagannath.
I understood, for one, exactly transcendental is that there's the problem with the proper consciousness, and then there's the giving the results of Krishna.
And then there's the giving the results to Krishna.
The first part is easy to imagine, the other, in the proper mood. You were mentioning this in class also, it's easy to imagine in the proper mood. But at the time of giving the result, that becomes strong and you can the real consciousness, at least maybe for others, but for the person, maybe imagining also, I am giving the result to Krishna in my own way. So what does it mean clearly to be giving the result to Krishna? Especially for persons who may be working in a small way.
Especially for the persons who are
maybe working or accumulating money and so on. What does it mean clearly? Because one might just be giving some their own idea of giving the result to Krishna. I understand.
I'm not exactly sure what you're asking, but you know, it sounds like what you're asking is, or the answer to what you're asking is, there's a steadiness and a contentment in the position of being the servant. So whether it's I'm a householder and I have a job and I have some earnings and how I regard those earnings, or whether it's the book distributor and I'm out distributing books, and you know, despite the highs, you know, the features of duality, there's a steadiness and a contentment that carries, because in the work environment, there's lots of, you know, unpleasant people doing, speaking unpleasant things, and anger and so forth and so on, cheating and backstabbing and unpleasantries. So to stay in a mood, steadily in a mood of serving Krishna in that work environment, that Krishna's pleasure is what my mission is. And then naturally, the fruit, the paycheck, and all of whatever that represents, it follows. It's for Krishna's service. And it's, you know, there's a spiritual happiness. I'll give a practical example, and then I've got to go because I have a conference call at 8:30. When we were in Vrindavan, there are certain places where there are very aggressive pandas. And it really destroys the atmosphere. It's just horrible. Without detailing what some of those experiences were like. It's real easy, I found, to get aggravated. I mean, like, one of them in particular was in Varsana. At the end, the Sriji Tent Mandir. It was on a Sunday. And they had the deities, somebody had sponsored the program on Sunday. So they brought the deities off the altar and put them right in the front. It was like the darshan was fantastic. Because normally they're way in the back and it's hard to see. It's not well lit. It was amazing darshan. But as I was standing there, I saw the pujari caught, you know, sight of, oh, here's an ISKCON guy. And because there are a group of people coming in, so they, like, you know, rallied up the pandas. And they let me take darshan of the deity. But as soon as I stepped out of the temple, there were 9 of them with their hand out. Not just like with their hand out, but, you know, hitting my arm and hitting my ribs and, you know, we want money. You know, you can't reason with those people. What are you doing? Your consciousness is contaminated. You're contaminating the whole atmosphere. Leave me alone. They didn't leave me alone. They followed me all the way down the stairs. You know how many stairs there are? You know, grabbing my shoulder. And, you know, the devotees were enraged. It was almost like, you know, an altercation. And these are, you know, spiritual people. So it's easy to get angered. It's certainly not going to do any good because they've been angered before. They've been the recipients of anger before. So they're not going to learn anything from that. Just kept walking. So how to stay peaceful after having, you know, the whole of the Varsana experience and then having that at the tail end. To stay fixed in Krishna consciousness in that kind of circumstance was challenging. So some places devotees just don't go because it's so bad. It's becoming like that. So bad. What's the service to Krishna in that circumstance? If you stay fixed in the mood of and the consciousness of wanting to serve Krishna, then there's shelter. You leave that position, and it's there's always something to cause aggravation and agitation of the mind and heart. Incomplete answer, but I gotta go. Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada.